Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hi, good, good. That's probably better. I'm good on the speaker. How is everybody?
Fantastic. How
Super.
Are you?
Thanks for asking.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. I'm actually in Nashville today with my with my daughter and my granddaughter. So we're gonna...
I was there last week.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I was
for fun or work or?
Well, my brother lives in Columbia, Tennessee, right outside Nashville. And then we had an alternative university conference Thursday and Friday, so I went out on Wednesday and stayed with him for a day and then came back after the conference.
Oh, wonderful. Well, good, good. It's a fast-growing town, I guess.
Yeah.
100 people are moving in every day. It's like Florida. It's these no state tax, you know, people think there's no correlation between taxes and behavior.
Absolutely.
You know, and then you know, it's silly. It's silly. People are just like, are you kidding? Of course.
Yep.
So how's your progress on Supernova and what should I know?
Okay, we're in the process of catching up. We have put more people on the list that we introduced to. So we introduced
one of our top five yesterday. Mm-hmm. And her statement was, well, you know, you're doing a lot of these things, but she kind of, I guess it made her think, and she said, you know, I've been meaning to talk to you guys. I have a friend who's going to be setting up accounts for his grandchildren, so she talked to us about a friend of hers. Not
right.
A lot of money, and I don't think it would be our client, but the fact that even, you know, it initiated her to think about a referral just with us introducing the Supernova, I think is great. And then she sent an email after I sent the executive summary saying, Roxana, thank you so very much on all counts, was her statement, on all accounts, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Great.
Yeah, and then some clients, you know, we had to reschedule because of the Irma, which was weeks ago. And
right.
We've kind of been... Pardon?
Yes, okay.
And we've had to... We rescheduled. Some have kept the appointment, some have canceled, and we've had to reschedule again. So we're in the process of trying to get, you know, a lot of these top clients... Back on the calendar with the introductory meeting.
Yeah, and look, you're in the training phase, so it's really important to try, you know, so when you have something like the hurricane, that will throw them off the schedule, and though therefore you're going to really need to work hard to get them back on schedule.
Yeah.
Because they're not trained yet. They're really not, you know, they're not trained to understand that this is going to happen every month and it's not a casual thing. It's really important and that you really need to be there and so on.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, okay. So that's normal. Yep.
Those that have been on Supernova, you know, for probably a few months now, you know, Rick... the Eskenazi, you know, we've been getting a lot of positive reviews at how happy they are, and so, you know, that trust bucket or whatever you call it, you know, is gradually building up.
Yep. Good, good. Yeah, the bank of trust.
The bank of trust.
All right, so before I forget it, one of the things that you were good at was emailing me a summary of your work, right?
Yep.
So let's get back to that, okay?
I was actually working on it today.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, just kind of...
He's late turning in the homework.
Turning in the homework. But what I really want to do is I want this to be, you know, your way of keeping yourself on track.
Yes.
In terms of, particularly in terms of acquisition, because this is, you know, you're going to do great on organization and segmentation. You're going to do terrific on making your existing clients happy. Where Supernova is the hardest thing is staying with the activity and making it a ritual. So we got to get practicing on that and making sure that we're doing it. And by turning in the homework, it's your way of saying, I did it or I didn't do it, you know? So, it's accountability. So we want to stick with that and be absolutely tough on ourselves when it comes to, it's just like working out, right? I mean, it's no different. If you don't have some kind of accountability, it's just much harder, you know, it's much harder to do it. All right. So, just to kind of talk about what did you think of the video and any questions on the work for this week?
It mentioned to reach out to the client a week before the appointment and then again 2 days before. Is that correct?
Yes, I mean that. If I were you, I would send them a reminder as to when the appointment is, and then 2 days before, I would send them the agenda.
Okay, so just email them like a week before the reminder, and then have Anthony call and send an agenda a couple of days before.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. So that just creates that. And the more you can automate it, the better. I don't want you guys, spending all kinds of time on this. But it's if they get a week ahead of time, they're gonna have it on their calendar, a reminder, and then they get the agenda with another reminder. They're not gonna cancel or they're not gonna ignore it. I mean, they're going to know it's important. So it's another way of saying this is really important.
Okay.
All right, questions on the agenda or how to build an agenda, things like that?
I have a few questions.
Go ahead.
Initially, and this we got from Abe here in our office, I've been updating the agenda, and starting off asking the client any changes, from our last meeting or our last conversation. And then ending it with, a discussion, obviously next steps, but also just a reminder of when the next meeting is. Is there anything else that you think would be effective?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are things that the client needs to do, right, that comes from their financial plan. So, and you also can have, we talked about creating the 24-month calendar. There'll be eight new topics in that 24 months. Some of them are recurring topics, so those would not be new in terms of new products or services.
Right.
But there'll be eight times when you introduce, and those initiatives, we'll call them, educational pieces will last for 2 months. So let's say we're going to call 100 clients about mortgages. Well, we're really not going to call about mortgages, are we? What we're going to call about is taking advantage of their ability to borrow. And what are the four ways they can borrow? What are the most effective way, and what are the rates today on each one of them? So I'll give you an example. My daughter is moving from L.A. She rented for like 5 years in L.A., I tried to get her to buy out there, but she wouldn't, right? So she's moving to Nashville. She's the producer for you have to watch this show now. It's Kelly Pickler and Ben. It's called Pickler and Ben. and you won't ever be able to watch it because you work. It's on daytime television. It's now the number one show, daytime television. It's Pickler and Ben. It's out of Nashville. She was she's a country western singer, and he's a fun guy from New York. Anyway, they got the show on, and Courtney does the food segment. It's kind of like a Martha Stewart show. And anyway, so she's here. It's number one show. She's really excited. But she wanted to rent again. I'm like, no, you don't want to rent. You want to buy. You know, you're in the fastest growing market. There's 100 people moving in here every day. So, you know, let's buy, you know. And so, but she's got a place in New York. So it'd be a little hard on her salary to get an approved loan for a second home. But Rob can borrow against his securities. Dad can, and lend her the money, right? So, and I think I can do it at, you know, really good rates, like 2.75%, 3% or something. I can lock it in for like 5 years. And that's her mortgage, you know, so her mortgage would be, to rent would cost her about $3,500 a month. So she can do her mortgage for like $2,500.
Wow.
Or less. You know, $2,000. That's including her taxes, $2,500. So, you know, yeah, she's going to have some repairs and things, but she's going to have some equity. And this market is fast here. It's moving. So, anyway, the point is, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat, and people are always looking to borrow money for one thing or another. So, we don't have to go too far to see somebody that's interested in borrowing money, right? Me. So, you know, the question is, if you're not talking about that stuff, they're going to their bank and borrowing the money. And probably not as good a rate as you can lend it, right? So securitized loan is one of the mortgages, securitized loans, margin, and then credit card debt, you know, which is terrible. So, you know, maybe you can come up with a fifth way, but that's what I'd talk about in 1 month. And then out of that month, you get business, right, like this. And so you want a month to follow up on debt. So if you're introducing, let's say, long-term care, you introduce it to everybody because everybody somehow is going to be involved in long-term care. They may not want to own it, but they're going to have somebody, a loved one, that needs assisted living sometime in their life. So they need to be aware of what it is and the cost and all that. So out of 100 people, you're going to get 10 that are going to need a mortgage or some kind of line of credit. You're going to have 10 that are going to be interested in long-term care, and you need time to follow up on those. So that's why we give you 2 months as a planning tool to take care of these things. So every month, you should be educating your client on something that they probably don't know anything about. Not everybody's going to need it, and not everybody's going to jump up and down and want it, but some people will need it, and some people will just appreciate the fact that you educated them on it because they didn't understand it. So, you know, just explaining the difference between a regular IRA and a Roth IRA could be a topic for 1 month. I mean, interesting, and people don't understand it. They have kids, and so they, you know, they need to know. So I'd always have a topic in there. I would always have, and at the end, I'm going to teach you to put in the value question. And you put, so the last item is always the value question. All right, they're going to ask, what is this value question? And your answer is, that's a question we ask once or twice a year. And the question is, what are the three things that you valued the most from your experience with our firm and with us this year?
So you put that in once or twice a year?
Yeah, correct.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, the question is, what are the three things that you valued this year from either our firm or from ourselves? That's it. What are the three things that you valued most from us and the firm in the past year? Now, that's a really important question because they're going to tell you what it is that you do that they like. And so, obviously, you're going to make a note of that and repeat those behaviors because they like them. And the reason we ask in threes, it's really a good question to always, you know, practice asking in threes. And the reason is human nature, it gives us time to think, all right? And while we're telling you the first two, we're thinking about the third one, and that's usually the one that's the most important. When we ask for one, it's just the first thing that pops into their head. And then we have to probe for more. What else? What else? No, that's it. You know, that's good. So we're all been good students, and when the teacher asks us a question, we try and give them an answer. And so when you ask for three, you'll get three. And so I want you to practice that because that's going to come up later in the training. And I want you to understand, I want you to just practice asking that question. And I want you to make it a part of what you do. So if you've never asked the question, you can put it on the agenda for every client. Now, I'm going to show you how we're going to use that those answers in the future. But for now, I just want you to learn how to ask that question and do it.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, yeah, it's going to work out great. I got to make a note. Ask value question, because I don't have that in the workbook. So do you understand how to create the executive summary?
We've been, I don't know where we got the template, but we've been just sending a summary of our meeting and whatever steps are pending, pretty much is what we've been
That's doing. Good. That's fine.
And
you don't have to, yeah. It doesn't have to be long. It just, you want to know what it is that you agreed on and who's responsible for next steps. And then, of course, when it's going to get done.
Right. Yeah, we've been using one already with every after every call or meeting.
It's really, really good. And clients will, I mean, that's kind of the icing, you know, it's not as delicious to eat a cake without icing, okay? This is the icing. This is the icing on the cake. This is what's going to make them go, wow, you thought of everything. That's really nice. Because they can relax during the meeting. They don't have to take notes. Well, they can take notes, and it's nice if they take notes, but they don't have to because you remembered what it is. Now, again, this is going to protect you compliance-wise from, you know, the I say, you say, you know, I didn't agree to that and all that stuff. But it also really from fiduciary and all these rules and regulations, it's just really, your compliance people are going to love you doing that. They want you to take notes. They want you to, they don't want you to have an agenda. I want you to have an agenda. does a million things for you, but they want you to have an executive summary. They want you to make sure that there's no question as to who is doing what. All right. What about time wasting? Have you been pretty good about blocking your time? And
no.
Oh, I was going to say I've been pretty good about wasting time.
Yeah, no, I
haven't. Are you not?
There we probably get a C or a D. We have to improve in that area.
All right, so where is the time going now?
Whatever pops, what is it? Whatever pops up.
Urgent.
Right. Right, from the quadrant.
Yeah, the urgent, but not necessarily important, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, and for me, probably urgent and even not important.
All right, so how can you prevent those things from happening?
Time blocking.
Time blocking is a really good idea. you can time block together, or you can alternate so that somebody's available, even though you don't really need to be. If I told you today, okay, I want you to run the office. Okay, for the next 6 months, I'm going to pay you $100,000. I want you to run the office for the next 6 months. It'd be good for your career. You know, it's going to be great for you. Guess what? You could do it. You know that? Because some people do that, right?
Yeah.
They manage an office and their financial advisor. So how the heck do they do that?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Where do they find the time? Right? Okay. So I want you to make prospecting your office management time. So the time that you would take to manage the office, I want you to put that into prospecting. So how do I teach managers how to manage an office and run their book and prospect? Right? Time blocking, right? I tell them their office hours are these. If you want to speak to me, I love you, but if you want to speak to me, come to me before 9 o'clock. And after 3 o'clock. Okay? Otherwise, I'm in business. Okay? I'm out of business. You can talk to my assistant. If it's urgent, she'll interrupt me. Otherwise, don't call. Don't stop by my office. Don't look in. Don't hang by the door. I'm not available. I'm on the phone. I'm talking to clients. So that's what you got to do.
Yep.
All right? You got to say, don't bother me. All right? I'm working. And I have time for this and this. You know, if I'm going to return phone calls or I'm going to do operations, it's going to be, you know, after 3 o'clock. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. I love you, but, you know, it's just not going to happen because I'm at work. So you're in charge of your calendar. You decide when you want to. I have one team, two girls that work together, two ladies, and one of them prospects in the morning and the other one prospects in the afternoon. That's all their, you know, has their client and vice versa. They have their client appointments opposite each other. So there's always somebody, you know, ready to answer the phone if they need to. So it's up to you guys. I mean, you're a team. You're more than a team. You really care about each other, so you can really, and you can hold each other accountable And you trust each other. So what's the best schedule for you guys to have? Let's do it right now.
As far as prospecting?
Time, yeah. When's the best time for you to time block to prevent yourself from getting distracted?
Mornings and afternoons, I would say, depending on the day.
What do you think? I mean,
I think also it depends on the, like what kind of said, depends on the day because of the how the calendar's already, some of the clients are already on the calendar.
All right, so you guys got to really say to yourselves, okay, when am I going to meet with my centers of influence? When am I going to prospect my niches, mastermind group, et cetera, okay? So you need time to do those things, and you need to stay focused on those things. So you got to block. You got to block. Now, I have one more good idea. I'm kind of on a tight schedule today because I got to go see some houses. I'm encouraging my daughter to buy something. But anyway.
Supernova meeting today. So we have a meeting right after.
Okay, good. All right. So I have this young gal who I'm coaching, and after 2 weeks she had her mastermind group all formed. And I was like, how the heck did you do that? And she said, oh, I did it. I just told them it was only for 90 days. We're going to have a kind of a 90-day free look. So everybody agreed to it. I said, that was brilliant. I said, you just changed the way I teach now. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to, when you think about, you know, if there's somebody you think is going to be reluctant to be a center of influence, instead of making it permanent, just say, let's do this for the next 3 months and see how it works. And for your mastermind group, do the same thing. Say, let's do this for the next 90 days. We'll have three meetings and then vote on decide whether it's something we want to keep doing. That way you pull it together rather than, you know, waiting for the perfect person and the perfect thing and perfect timing. And
yeah.
So see what I mean? It gives you permission to try it out. So it's kind of like, go try that out, that new Mercedes, drive it, see if you like it, and if you don't like it, bring it back.
Right.
Well, most people are going to enjoy you guys and enjoy the mastermind group, and they're going to like it, but they can't really make a decision until they try it, right? So that's your homework, okay? I want you to form a mastermind group as best you can, and get people to agree to do it for 90 days. And if you have a center of influence that's kind of they don't have time, they don't want to try, just say, let's do it for 90 days, see how it works. So do it with a mastermind group and do it with a center of influence. Awfully quiet.
Well, I'm writing notes.
Rick's going to work on the mastermind, and I'm going to work on, by next week, having the COI, Rick will be doing the mastermind group, not me.
Awesome. All right, so that's the best homework I could give you. Now, I want it in writing ahead of time for next week.
Yes,
okay.
Consider it.
All right. Okay, thanks, guys. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you for your time. Good luck. Good luck house shopping.
Yes.
And let us know if you need a securitized loan.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.